about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. We have culturally appropriate ways to grieve for the loss of loved ones. But we don't really have a cultural process for grieving for the loss of a home.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head.
And Rebecca.
Today, the psychology of home.
We got a listener message on the Facebook page. It's an interesting question. So this listener, unfortunately, lost a house in the Bastrop fire, which happened just about 5 years ago. And pointed out a phenomenon that lots of other people have noticed as well, which is when you lose a house, you lose a lot of stuff, but stuff is generally replaceable. And yet, losing a house like that has a tremendous long-term negative effect on you emotionally, much more so than just the loss of the stuff.
Yeah.
And the question was really, what's going on with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, we should probably start by recognizing, of course, some things that are stuff are not replaceable. I mean, sometimes we have old photographs or, you know, mementos or heirlooms or other kinds of things that are not easily replaceable or impossible to replace at all. And those things certainly reflect some loss. But for those things and the other things that maybe are replaceable, there is a sense of our space and what lives in that space that gives us a sense of who we are. And this involves not only the people in our lives, but also the environment that we live in. I mean, our house, the contents of our house, our backyard, our other kinds of things. And when you lose all of that, it's a little bit like being quickly taken and plopped down in another city where you don't know anybody or you don't have your own stuff, and everything feels uncomfortable. Because we often underestimate how much we become habituated to about our environments, right? I mean, it's not just we have certain behaviors that we do routinely, but we have certain things that we do them routinely with and in the presence of. And all of that stuff forms the fabric of what we think of as our life experience. And when that gets changed in a dramatic way, like a destruction of a home does, it's understandably unsettling.
Yeah. And I think there's several things going on here. One of them is that our home in particular is, generally speaking, something that we set up to be a safe place. Now, it's not that the modern world is necessarily incredibly dangerous in the sense of there aren't wild animals out to get us and things like that, but there are things that go wrong day to day. There are fights we have with colleagues or friends. There are setbacks that we may have at work or in our personal lives. And when you have those moments, usually there's a place you retreat to regroup, to gather some inner strength. And often that place you go to is somewhere in your home. It could be a bedroom. It could be, you know, a music studio. It could be all kinds of places that you go for your own personal benefit. When that safe space is violated in some way, It makes it difficult for you to be able to do the kind of emotional regrouping you need to do. And of course, the destruction of that space is one violation. But many people have reported the same kind of effect when there's a break-in in their home,
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
they no longer feel like they have their sanctuary because the space itself has been violated. Even if nothing got stolen mm-hmm. that was of any particular monetary or sentimental value.
Mm-hmm. Often we conceive of ourselves as being separate from other people and separate from the things around us, when actually we're more closely tied to them than I think we often realize. Which is why when we leave an environment, but we know we can come back, right? Whether it's just leaving the house to go to work for the day or leaving town on a vacation, we can sort of rest easy in the confidence that we'll come back and it will be pretty much the way we left it. And that constancy is a comfort, right? And one of the reasons that homelessness and other kinds of things are so, so terrible, so debilitating for so many people is the unpredictability of what's going to happen next. And the more unpredictable things are, the more attentive you have to be, because you have to make more decisions. You have to interpret more things about your environment. And literally, it's exhausting. It's mentally exhausting to do that.
Another issue that we haven't touched on yet that I think is really important is that we also underestimate the importance of physical space in our ability to access memories. And we've talked about this a little bit on the show in the past, but memory is recalled when the situation that you're in the moment bears substantial overlap to the situation you were in when you laid that memory down in the first place. And so if you are in a particular physical location like a home, there is information, memories, understandings of things that happened to you in your past that are more easily accessible when you're in that space than when you're outside of that space. Mm-hmm. When you lose a home, not only may you lose mementos of the past, you may actually render inaccessible memories of the past, because the cues that would get you back to those memories are now gone.
Yeah.
From
yeah.
physical space. And I think, I mean, like any grief process, you know, what happens over time is that the event of the loss, in this case, say the loss of a home, gets woven into the structure of life. But something we've talked about in the show before is, you know, when you walk down the street and you look at the happy faces of all the people who walk by you, in that moment, it can be very difficult to remember that probably the lives of just about every person who's smiling have been touched by one tragedy or another over time. And one of the things that's actually really amazing about the human emotional system is our remarkable ability to take the various negative events that happen to us and allow us to move on from them in ways that that while they always may serve as a loss we recognize, don't become a loss that utterly destroys the quality of your life.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of value with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and check out the new book, Brain Briefs, where Art and Bob take on a variety of topics across psychology. We'll have a special live Two Guys on Your Head book launch at the Cactus Cafe October 4th as part of KUT's Views and Brews series. There's more information on this event and much more about Two Guys on Your Head at KUT.org. David Alvarez is our engineer. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.